The United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Gary S. Katzmann presiding before court number 20-00065, Habas versus the United States et al. Will the attorneys please state their names for the record, starting with the plaintiff?
I'm David Simon of the Law Offices of David Simon, representing the plaintiff Habash.
Good morning, Your Honor. Ann Motto from the Department of Justice on behalf of the United States. And I'm here with Mr. Reza Karamlu from the Department of Commerce as well.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. I'm Maureen Thorson from the Wiley Ryan LLP, here today on behalf of Defendant Intervenor, the Rebar Trade Action Coalition, or RTAC.
Good morning. So I think that's all of our counsel. For the purposes of this proceeding, I'd like to welcome you all. And the court, of course, has received extensive briefing from all the parties. And the parties have responded to the questions for oral argument sent by the court on April 15th, 2021. And as the letter of April 15th indicates, the oral argument will be used as an opportunity for you each to respond to the answers that have been received by opposing counsel. A brief opening statement is permitted. It's not required. So without further ado, why don't we begin with Mr. Simon for the plaintiff. Simon.
May it please the court. Yes, may it please the court. I'm David Simon for Habash. I'd like to begin by discussing the reliability of the trade statistics. I have to give some background before I get directly to the rebuttal of what's in the letters in response to the court's questions. There are two data sets for EU imports of natural gas that are on the record. Habash provided a data set of UN Comtrade natural gas imports on an EU 28 basis from all countries, and then Habash gave detailed analyses by quantity in kilograms, value, and average unit value, AUV, for pipeline suppliers that accounted for about 99.5% of total EU imports. RTAC provided Eurostat natural gas imports from the pipeline suppliers, both for individual countries in the EU and for the EU 28, also in kilograms. RTAC did not provide any information suggesting the Comtrade or Eurostat data were collected or reported in dual units, for example, in kilograms and terajoules, which is an energy measure, or cubic meters, which is a volume measure. Even though RTAC had an opportunity to do so, and even though they knew that the existence of inconsistent dual units had been critical in previous proceedings. Something that we've lost sight of as this case has gone on is this. The Commerce Department accepted the Eurostat data in kilograms as reliable. They used the Eurostat information to make the Russian natural gas adjustment, what I call the Gazprom adjustment, to the IEA figures. So in the administrative proceeding, The Commerce Department never disparaged or questioned the reliability of the Eurostat data at all. In argument before the court, the government has now repeatedly suggested that the Eurostat data are unreliable. For example, in their answers to your letter, Your Honor, at 2, the government states, quote, as Commerce observed, Comtrade data and Russian Eurostat data are unreliable. But this is not the case. There is nothing in the preliminary or final decision memos disparaging the Eurostat data. In the administrative proceeding, Commerce never once questioned the reliability of the Eurostat statistics. If the court accepts the government's post hoc change in position, then the court must find that the entire Russian natural gas adjustment to the IEA figures is unsupported by substantial evidence. And since that adjustment itself is part and parcel of the IEA benchmark, the benchmark becomes unreliable. On the other hand, if the Eurostat data are reliable, then so are the Comtrade data, because there is a near perfect agreement between the Comtrade data and the Eurostat data. The country-specific average unit values, AUVs, of the two data sets are the same. The quantity and value of the two data sets on an EU 28 basis are functionally indistinguishable. Habash argued to Commerce that the Comtrade and EU 28 data yielded the same AUVs on a country-specific basis, an essentially indistinguishable total quantity, value, and AUVs on an EU 28 basis. Commerce never considered this argument, and it's the linchpin for the issue of whether the Comtrade data are reliable. In their response brief to the court at 13, the government answers Habash's argument. They say this, quote, Habash urges that Commerce's determination is unsupported by substantial evidence because Commerce did not acknowledge that the Comtrade and Eurostat data yield the same AUV. They say Commerce need not address every piece of evidence presented by parties, end quote. This isn't substantive argument in any sense of the word. The government is simply ignoring outcome determinative evidence, since the concordance between the Eurostat data, which are true, according to Commerce, and the Comtrade data, the concordance between those two data sets proves the reliability of the Comtrade data. Moreover, there is no evidence anywhere that the EU maintains natural gas trade data in anything other than kilograms. RTAC had an opportunity to show that somewhere there was dual unit reporting in kilograms or terajoules and whatever, kilograms and cubic meters, and they didn't do it. They failed to make that argument. So the comparison of Russian AUV to that of other pipeline suppliers is reliable. The comparison shows that Russian pricing is consistent with pricing from market-driven countries. So now we know that Russian pricing is market-driven. Therefore, because the benchmark tiers are hierarchical, Commerce is required to use Russian AUV as the tier two benchmark. And a final comment on the reliability and data issue. there is really a compelling reason to select EU natural gas from Russia as a benchmark. Russia is a major supplier to both the EU and Turkey. As such, there is no reason to believe that the natural gas from Russia into the EU is any different from the Russian natural gas exported to Turkey. So any assertion that Russian gas in the EU and Turkey have different energy contents is completely without merit. And as a corollary to that, since the EU is a single market with common standards, there is no reason to believe that the natural gas supplied to the EU by Norway or any of the other pipeline suppliers is any different from the natural gas supplied by Russia. All of this pipeline supply goes into the EU pipeline system where it is ultimately fungible. I want to talk also about units of measurement. Habash provided monthly natural gas consumption in cubic meters, standard cubic meters, kilowatt hours, and kilograms. They are all mutually and convertible, and they're uncontested. Habash natural gas purchases run consistently at 0.7 kilograms per cubic meter. That's a public figure. RTAC provided an extract from an engineering handbook saying that natural gas density runs from 0.7 to 0.9 kilograms per cubic meter. RTAC did not provide any evidence of the density of natural gas in commercial practice, or specifically in Russia or Turkey or the EU. RTAC provided only a theoretical range. Moreover, RTAC did not provide any information about the energy density of natural gas, the amount of energy per kilogram or per volume, cubic meter. The only information concerning the energy density of natural gas is Habash's uncontestedly very narrow range. RTAC repeatedly claims that, for example, quote, a kilogram of gas from one supplier may have a far different energy content than a kilogram of gas from another supplier, end quote. That's in response to the court's letter at page 2. But there's no evidence to support that statement. Ultimately, RTAC relies on the statement in the 2017 ID memo, that's the original investigation, which was specific to the facts of that segment of the proceeding, since it relied on a comparison of dual unit import statistics among various countries. All of RTAC's statements concerning the variability of natural gas energy density are unsupported speculation. RTAC now also makes another attack on the Comtrade benchmark, claiming that, quote, the Comtrade data set as a whole reflects not only imports of natural gas in its pipeline transported form, but other products such as compressed natural gas, end quote, their response to the letter at 2-3. Habash categorically rejects this position. Commerce explicitly found that there is no compressed natural gas in the trade statistics, the ID memo at 13. RTAC's position relies on the presence of natural gas from non-pipeline countries in the Comtrade data, but the EU imports from these non-pipeline countries, other than Turkey, which is not relevant right now, are only 609 kilograms out of a total of 109 billion kilograms. This is just trivial noise that we see in every database of every kind everywhere in the world. I want to turn to the IEA report. Commerce acknowledges that it has to make an adjustment to eliminate the effect of Russian natural gas. But their calculation to do that is utterly flawed. First of all, Commerce relies on the average unit value for Russian exports to its, quote, far abroad, taken from the Gazprom 2018 annual report. But this AUV is unreliable because it includes Russian exports to Turkey. Commerce cannot use an AUV to Turkey as a benchmark because the Turkish market is deemed distortive because of the dominance of the government of Turkey. Commerce has always rejected ab initio any potential benchmark that included any amount of natural gas to Turkey. But Commerce is now telling you it's all right to use a figure that includes Russian exports to Turkey because it is merely, as the ID memo says, a, quote, starting point, end quote. But what's the legal principle then? You can't use a distorted figure if it's an endpoint, but it's okay to do it if it's a starting point? That's a distinction without a difference. If a figure is not reliable, the calculations flowing from that figure are also not reliable. Second of all, the entire Gazprom annual report is unreliable because it's the output of an intrinsically political entity. If Russian pricing is political and Gazprom is the means by which that pricing is imposed on the market, then the notion that the Gazprom ruble per cubic meter pricing figure is meaningful is bunk. Third, Commerce converts the Russian AUV to Turkish lira per kilowatt hour using the standard cubic meter per kilowatt hour ratio that Habash reports. But Gazprom's report doesn't say whether it is in standard cubic meters or unadjusted cubic meters. The choice between these two is worth 4.3% on the price per kilowatt hour, which is huge because the whole subsidy rate for this program is only 3.3%. So the entire amount of the subsidy can well be coming from the assumption of standard cubic meters in the Gazprom report. Finally, on the issue of the LNG adjustment.
5 minutes.
Thank you. On the issue of the LNG adjustment, Commerce relies on import market shares for 2014, which they failed to support as far as I could find. And even if it were supported, it's not a reliable measure of market share in 2017. Finally, I come to the adjustment for liquid natural gas. This adjustment doesn't even exist. Commerce, quote, adjusted Russia's share of European natural gas to be only its share of European gaseous natural gas imports, end quote. But Commerce did not adjust for the price impact of LNG within the natural gas purchased by European end users. The government's position, amazingly, is that there is no LNG in the IEA figures because end users don't buy LNG. Okay, but Commerce acknowledges that 16% of the EU natural gas is LNG. There's nowhere for that LNG to go other than into natural gas pipelines after it's been regasified. And in those pipelines, it's commingled with natural gas imported in its gaseous form by pipeline from Russia, Norway, and the other pipeline suppliers. RTAC did not provide any information controverting the obvious truth that the EU natural gas pipelines deliver commingled pipeline gas and regasified LNG to end users. And this figure is what's shown in the IEA end user pricing. Commerce has always been really careful to reject any benchmark that might be contaminated by any product other than gaseous natural gas, but they failed to do so here. This relates also to the argument about proof of similarity. Ultimately, on the issue of whether Russian pricing was market-oriented, Commerce was able to choose freely among all those various writings that are in the record because it denied the reliability of the trade statistics that would be the objective quantitative test for that decision. Commerce's finding that Comtrade data were unreliable is untenable. They accepted as reliable the Eurostat data. The Eurostat data are the same as the Comtrade data for all practical purposes within 0.02% or something. So the Comtrade data, the Comtrade imports from other pipeline suppliers are also validated. There can be no objection as to the comparability among Russian, Norwegian, and natural gas from other pipeline suppliers because RTAC has failed to show any variability in the energy density among natural gas flowing into EU pipelines from these various suppliers. So the fact that Russian AUVs are within the range of those other pipeline suppliers, both in 2017 and over a 5-year period, is proof positive that Russian natural gas is priced according to market principles. Commerce ignored this in its ID memo and continues to ignore it and continues to obfuscate and to change its position. But the ultimate fact remains that Comtrade is equal to Eurostat and that Comtrade proves the market nature of Russian natural gas pricing. Finally, Comtrade's use of the IEA report as a tier 3 benchmark is unlawful because there is a reliable tier 2 benchmark, namely the AUV of EU imports from Russia, which are demonstrably market priced. And Commerce decision is unsupported by substantial evidence because it relies on flawed inputs for its ultimate calculation of unit value. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Simon. We'll now hear from Ms. Mato.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. This court has, on 3 occasions, in RTAC 1, in Habash, and in ICDASH most recently, sustained Commerce's determination that Russian natural gas prices are distorted by government involvement and therefore not usable for benchmark purposes. And in both the Habash and ICDASH decisions, Commerce's determination that Russian prices were distorted was based on the exact same kind of factual information on the record presented in this case. So Commerce not only has a practice of finding that Russian prices are distorted, just like it did here, but this court has repeatedly sustained or affirmed that practice. Pertaining to the court's first question posed to Habash, we agree with Habash that Russia's market share is not the outcome determinative question. The relevant question is whether Russia's prices are set according to market principles such that those prices can be used for a benchmark. So regardless of the market share, if Commerce determines that the Russian natural gas prices are not set based on market principles like it did here, then those prices aren't usable for a benchmark because they are distorted. But even if the share of the market were relevant, 33% is still a third of the imports. And the record shows that Russia remains the EU's most important external source of natural gas. So that just further, or it still bolsters Commerce's conclusion that Russia does and can use natural gas prices to leverage its political goals. Habash tries to distinguish RTAC 1, one of the court's prior cases that sustained Commerce's determination that Russian natural gas prices were distorted. But there is even more evidence in this case than there was in RTAC 1 to support Commerce's determination. Here, there is evidence in the form of rebuttal factual information on the record, which we cited on page 10 of the record or of our brief, reaffirming and supporting Commerce's decision. Habash submitted the same kind of evidence to try to rebut that. You know, they submitted a Gazprom policy report, a 2018 press release, an Oxford Institute report. I mean, this is the evidence that was on the record in the form of this documentary evidence, and Commerce, in its discretion, weighed the evidence and determined that Russian natural gas prices are still distorted. And as I said, in both the Habash and Ikdash decisions, this court has sustained that determination, and it should do so here for the exact same reasons. In addition to the fact that the data, the Comtrade data and Eurostat data, was based on Russian prices and therefore not reliable, another reason that Commerce reasonably rejected the Comtrade and Eurostat data is because that data was reported in kilograms. So it would be subject to conversion factors, which posed unique problems here when we're dealing with natural gas calculations, as Commerce discusses on page 24 of its IDM. There was no evidence on the record explaining how the data sets were collected. So the issue isn't that RTAC didn't provide evidence showing that these weren't reported in native kilograms. The point is, we don't know. Commerce doesn't know. There is simply no evidence on the record showing how those two data sets were collected and originally reported, such that Commerce knew what the energy content of the kilograms were. This is important, as Commerce discusses on page 24 of its IDM, because conversion rates for natural gas energy units can vary based off of factors such as density and temperature. And so Habash is wrong in response to the court's questions to downplay those conversion problems or suggest that Commerce was wrong to take them into account. In RTAC 2, this court sustained Commerce's decision to reject data in that case, which was for a natural gas benchmark, because that data was subject to conversion problems, very similar here. It was reported on several different units, and Mr. Simon is right here, it's all reported on a weight basis, but there was still conversion problems, and the court sustained Commerce's determination in that case to reject data that, you know, has conversion issues. And here, as Commerce, you know, substantially discusses on page 24, the data suffer from those conversion factors that render it unreliable. And Habash hasn't provided any evidence undermining the main point, which is you can't compare natural gas prices that are presented only on a weight basis, a kilogram basis, because 1 kilogram of natural gas from one supplier might not be the same kilogram from another supplier based on those different, you know, factors that can impact the weight, density, and temperature and things like that. Mr. Simon suggested, you know, in his opening that the Commerce, you know, didn't reject the Eurostat data or didn't call that data into question. But that's incorrect. On pages 24 and 26 of its IDM, Commerce provides several reasons for why the Eurostat data is not usable. On page 24, Commerce explains that the IEA data doesn't have the conversion problems that both the Comtrade and Eurostat data have. On page 24, it talks about how both the Comtrade data and Eurostat data have the discrepancies in them, because the Eurostat data reports different import quantities for all of the countries except one, different import qualities than the Comtrade data. So there's discrepancies between the data. On page 24, Commerce talks about how there's no evidence that shows that Eurostat reported the data in native kilograms. And finally, on page 26, Commerce talks about how Russian prices are not market driven, such that it's not going to rely on the Eurostat data. So there are numerous spots in the IDM where Commerce rejected the Eurostat data. So this is not a post hoc argument that I make on behalf of Commerce. And this, you know, Commerce discussed this, these discrepancies between the data that further undermine the reliability on page 24 of its IDM. The IEA data, as I said, was reported in energy units, so it didn't have these conversion problems. And in the end, that's what Commerce is doing. It's up to the parties to create the record, Here, it had three competing data sets, and in the end, because the IEA data didn't have these conversion problems, in addition to the fact that it wasn't based on Russian prices or that it could be adjusted to remove the Russian prices, rather, that was a reasonable decision for Commerce to make. In question 5, the court asks what law requires Commerce to consider product similarity when selecting data for a Tier 3 analysis. And to answer that question, Commerce's regulations pertaining to a Tier 3 analysis do not explicitly require or provide that Commerce will consider factors affecting comparability like it does for a Tier 2 analysis. But that doesn't matter here because for purposes of constructing a benchmark, Commerce relied on import data for natural gas in its gaseous form, which is the same product for comparability purposes here. Commerce didn't compare Habash's prices to prices for any other product. There is no evidence on the record that the IEA data includes anything but data for gaseous natural gas. In fact, that is exactly why Commerce adjusted the data in the end to remove the 16% of the EU's natural gas market that has LNG, because the goal that Commerce was trying to achieve was to determine a benchmark for gaseous natural gas. So Commerce endeavored to do this comparability analysis. It actually did what Habash wants it to do. It removed what it thought could be LNG in Russia's share of the market. So it actually did, and it endeavored to do this comparability analysis. And so it's unclear what Habash means by requiring Habash to do a comparability analysis here, because it's been done. Habash tries to suggest that Commerce's analysis is odd or different in some way in its response to the court's questions, but Commerce's analysis isn't anomalous because in both the Habash and ICDOSH decisions, Commerce used IEA data as a Tier 3 benchmark for comparison purposes to Turkish natural gas prices. So this is not an anomalous case. This is actually entirely consistent with prior cases that this court has sustained. So in response to question 6, for purposes of adjusting the data, Habash complains that the charts Commerce relied on do not allow precision to the second decimal. For starters, there are several arguments in Habash's responses that were not raised before Commerce or in Habash's opening brief. And those arguments are therefore not exhausted, are waived, and should be dismissed. This is one of them. But even so, Commerce started with whole figures or numbers to the one decimal place, which Commerce could certainly do just by looking at those charts. The numbers just weren't evenly divisible, which is ultimately what leads to values at two decimal places. But that misses the point. There were three data sets on the record, and Commerce had to work with what was placed on the record by the parties and pick the best available information. Habash doesn't provide alternative numbers for that chart. It just tries to poke holes in what could be very de minimis or very small differences at the second decimal level. But those small discrepancies that may or may not be present don't undermine Commerce's calculation when it had to rely on the best available information on the record. Habash just doesn't want an adjustment to its data because its rate would be better. But Commerce determined that Russian imports were distorted, so it was reasonable to adjust the data to remove that distortion. And that's a methodology that's been upheld by this court in both Habash and ICDOSH. As for using the Eurostat report to make the adjustment,
5 minutes.
Commerce stated that it must rely on the information as a starting point, as Mr. Simon acknowledged, for purposes of an adjustment for Russian prices. No parties, including Commerce, suggest that the numbers in the report are inaccurate. Those are Russian numbers. Those are Russian prices. So therefore, they're totally usable for purposes of adjusting the EU import data for Russian distortion. But that's a completely different question for saying that the data is reliable for purposes of creating a benchmark. The Russian data is distorted because the prices, though we don't contend that they are inaccurate, they are distorted because they aren't set based on market principles. So those are two completely different questions. So Habas's argument that Commerce accepted the numbers as reliable is only true in context, only reliable in the sense that those are the prices, but not reliable for purposes of a benchmark. Habash also complains that Commerce relied on 2014 figures in its adjustment, and that the Gazprom report does not state whether its volume figures are in standard cubic meters or unadjusted cubic meters, and that Commerce just assumed that the figures were in standard cubic meters. These issues aren't discussed in the IDM because Habash never raised them before Commerce, or even in its opening brief or reply brief before this court. Commerce relied on the 2014 figures. You can see it in the preliminary determination memorandum at page 15, and the standardized cubic meters in its preliminary results. So the data was on the record. Habash certainly knew about it. And so these arguments should have been raised, and they are not exhausted, and they are waived because it also wasn't raised in Habash's opening brief. But in reality, an adjustment based on cubic meters instead of standardized cubic meters would result in a higher margin for Habash. So this argument is peculiar. Habash is arguing against something that ultimately benefited it, assuming the adjustment was reasonable. But regardless, again, Habash does not show that Commerce relied on incorrect figures in any way. It doesn't provide any other figure that would be better, which again is what we're trying to do. Commerce has to pick the best data available on the record. Habash just claims that different numbers would have supplied different outcomes, but that doesn't make Commerce's analysis unreasonable, especially whereas here, Commerce actually picked an alternative that, lowered Habash's margin, not increased it. And then finally, Habash claims that Commerce's decision to average natural gas prices to both industrial users and electricity generators for the benchmark is wrong, because Habash only received subsidized pricing for electricity generation. Again, this argument wasn't raised in Habash's case brief before Commerce or in its opening brief before this court, even though Commerce averaged the prices in its preliminary results. So this argument, again, is unexhausted and waived. But as Commerce explained on page 21 of its IDM, it has a practice of averaging prices when there is more than one available. This is exactly what Commerce did in ICDASH, the prior decision before this court. Commerce averaged natural gas prices from 19 countries, as well as prices for industrial users and electricity generation. So this is consistent with Commerce's practice and consistent with that case. And the IEA data had both industrial user and power generator prices, which Habash is both of those. So there's no contention that somehow these prices don't apply to Habash, because Habash is both of those. So it was certainly reasonable for Commerce to do that. Commerce did consider and reject this argument on page 21 of its IDM. That Habash receives a standard or a subsidized price only for electricity generation isn't relevant at all. The point is, Habash did not pay a market price for natural gas, irrespective of its status as a consumer. So Commerce needs a benchmark to compare the price that BOTAS charges Habash, because it's trying to construct a price that Habash should have paid. So Habash's status as a consumer isn't relevant, and regardless, Habash concedes that it's both an industrial user and a power generator, further undermining any suggestion that Commerce's averaging is inappropriate as applied to Habash. And if the court doesn't have any further questions from me, we respectfully request that the court sustain Commerce's determination. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Ms. Motto. Ms. Thorson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Again, just for the record, my name is Maureen Thorson. I'm here today on behalf of the Rebar Trade Action Coalition, or RTAC. I'd like to address a few themes that appear throughout Habash's responses to the court's questions. First, and this came through in Mr. Simon's presentation today, Habash has a somewhat odd conception of the Department of Commerce's task running throughout its question responses, which Habash assumes that if RTAC did not submit evidence that, in Habash's view, is sufficient to overcome Habash's arguments, then Commerce is compelled to accept whatever view of the record Habash desires. But that's not how this works. That's not what the standard of review requires of Commerce, and that's not what the statute gives Commerce the task of doing. Rather, Commerce has to look at the record as a whole and make up its own mind as to how it views that record, what evidence supports its views of the record, and it can come up with a view that is consistent with a party's arguments or inconsistent with any party's arguments. Commerce has an independent function here with respect to reviewing the record. It is not simply automatically compelled to take Habash's view of the record if Habash itself does not feel it has been rebutted properly. Beyond that, Mr. Simon argued today that Commerce never considered whether it could use Eurostat data as a benchmark. But if you look at pages 23 and 24 of Commerce's final issues and decision memo, you'll find that Commerce did in fact discuss their Eurostat data and explained why it was rejecting their Eurostat data as a benchmark. Habash implies in several of its question responses and stated outright today in its presentation that Commerce found that the Comtrad and Eurostat data on the record do not contain any compressed natural gas. But what Habash has cited is no finding made by Commerce, but rather a recitation of claims made in Habash's case brief in the sort of chapeau or summary of the briefing arguments that precedes Commerce's discussion of the issues. That's the final IDM at page 13. It's merely a recitation of Habash's claims, not a finding by Commerce, besides which the record shows that the Comtrad and Eurostat data are for imports under Harmonized System Code 2711-21, which Commerce has previously found to be CNG or compressed natural gas inclusive. And for that, you can look at the final IDM at 24 and also the Habash versus United States case 413 F sub 3rd at 1359. I'd like to now address Habash's argument that the import statistics on the record were collected in what Habash calls native kilogram units. RTAC explained in its response brief why the record does not support this claim, but even if Habash's claim were borne out by the record, that would not compel selection of the import statistics as a benchmark over the IEA data for three reasons. First, Habash didn't purchase gas on the basis of weight. It purchased it on the basis of energy content, which is a comparable basis with the basis of the IEA data. Second, weight simply does not have a uniform correlation with energy density or volume. Therefore, import statistics that are expressed only on a weight basis do not provide enough information for Commerce to ensure that the gas in the statistics is comparable to the gas that Habash purchased. Third, there are differences in the quantity figures in the Comtrad and Eurostat data sets, impugning the reliability of either. While Habash considers the differences negligible across the EU as a whole, RTAC pointed out in its rebuttal brief to Commerce that the differences across individual EU countries are substantial. And that's not even getting into our whole Russian pricing is distorted issue, which naturally is going to affect import statistics for Russian gas coming into the EU. In some of its responses, Habash condemns RTAC for engaging in speculation. But it is Habash that engages in speculation in assuming that the natural gas it receives from BOTAS, which imports natural gas through pipelines from three different countries plus regasified LNG, must necessarily be identical in terms of energy content and energy to weight conversions with the gas imported into the EU from Russia. And contrary to Habash's claims that RTAC did not rebut Habash's conversion ratio data, Exhibit 2 of RTAC's benchmark rebuttal, which is tab 4 of the joint appendix, contains information on the wide variability of conversion ratios for natural gas, which Commerce noted in its IDM at page 24. And while Habash today has said that there's a uniform 0.7 conversion ratio that's public that, you know, relates to Habash's purchases of natural gas, I think that view is complicated by some of the information that Habash itself has put on the record, particularly in Exhibit 1 of its August 8th benchmark submission, which is the confidential tab 3 in the joint appendix. I think if the court looks at the data, that will undermine Habash's claim somewhat and also undermine the notion that natural gas imported into Europe must necessarily be identical in energy content and weight with that obtained by Habash. Finally, in response to questions 6 and 7 of the court's questions, Habash implies that if there were no adjustment of the IEA data set for Russian pricing, or had Commerce used only the IEA power generation price as its benchmark, Habash's margin for this program would disappear. But I reran the calculations on this basis, and while the margin falls somewhat, it doesn't get anywhere near zero, much less de minimis. In fact, Habash even criticizes the department for methodological choices. Thank you. Sorry. I'll close there unless you have more questions. I just wanted to point out that with this Gazprom unadjusted cubic meters argument that Habash has raised, if you actually went and redid the calculations, assuming that the Gazprom data were in unadjusted cubic meters, Habash's margin would go up. So they're complaining about methodological choices that in some cases assisted them, benefited them rather than harmed them.
Council. That concludes our arguments. I want to thank council for your illuminating presentations. The excellent briefing throughout case. Is my custom. I will give council the opportunity to file a full pleading of not more than 1,250 words. So that's about 5 pages by May 26th. You don't feel compelled to make such a phone, but this is an opportunity for you to write if something came up during oral, which you feel warrants clarification. So, we have completed the session, and I hope that everybody's safe and well. We're certainly looking forward to the White House.
Meanwhile, if I may, just as a point of information, everybody's audio is fine, except frankly yours. It's clipped and it's delayed by several seconds, so that what appears to be coming out of your mouth, we're not hearing for several seconds. I understood, okay. I think, everything that you were saying, but your technical staff might want to take a look at that.
Well, thank you, Rich. I'm just curious, also, Ms. Motto, Ms. Thyssen, have you noticed a similar problem with the transmission from my end? Motto?
I can hear you fine, Your Honor. Your video does lag a little bit, so I just listen, but the video is lagged, but I do hear you fine.
Yes, thank Your Honor, you. That was my experience as well. I can hear you, but there's a lag.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a problem that we'll have to look into, Your Honor, but it seemed like we were getting so close to the end that I thought we'd confer about it afterwards.
Right, we will. Thank you very much for that input. And with that, we will adjourn. Stay safe and be well, and look forward to seeing you in New York.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I look forward to coming back to New York as well.
Yeah.